Church, you are dismissed. They learn it young. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This morning I want to share with you verses 10 through 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 17. Before we get back into our series of Who's Your One, it may be a week or two. Sometimes the Lord just lays things on your heart that as a pastor you feel like is important to share, that it's imperative in its time. And I feel like that this is just one of those messages that the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you. I'm going to try to share it quickly. I still don't have a whole lot of a voice to speak, so I've got a cough drop in. And when that cough drop's gone, the message will be ending shortly thereafter. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 17. I'd ask if you would please stand with me as we give honor and glory to reading the Word of God. This message, if you were to give it a title, would be The Divided Church, an oxymoron. Paul said to the church of Corinth, he says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you may be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Cephas and Gaius, so that one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for the blessing of today. Lord, we thank You for the rain that You've sent us, Lord, as it seems like it's been so long since we've had any. But Lord, we praise You for it nonetheless, that You give it in Your own due time. Lord, Father, I pray that this morning You teach us from Your Word. Lord, I pray that You would give me the ability, Lord, just to share, that You would help my voice just to hold out. Lord, Father, I pray with earnesty today that if there's somebody here beneath the sound of my voice who's never known You in the free pardon of sin, then, Lord, I pray before it's an everlasting too late that today might be their day of salvation. Lord, I pray that they would come and give their heart and their life to You. Lord, I pray that maybe if there's a Christian here who is struggling in their journey, struggling in their walk, Lord, Father, I just pray that maybe they can seek Your face and Your heart today, Lord, and that, Lord, they would just come and return unto You, Lord, that they would seek a rededication in their life. Most of all, Lord, today is a church. Lord, I pray that we see that as a church body, we cannot have divisions among us, Lord, that we must be unified in one common goal and in one common purpose, Lord. So, Father, help us today learn from Your Word, learn from Your teaching. Lord, I ask that You but use me as a mouthpiece and as a tool, nothing more, nothing less, Lord. So all this we ask in Your holy and precious name. Amen. Here in the church of Corinth, there was a problem in the early church, and the news spread fairly quickly to Paul. And Paul writes to the church and he addresses this issue about how that there are basically four divisions among the church. There is a division that says that they are followers of Paul, a division that says that they are followers of Peter, another division that says they are followers of Apollos, and yet another division that says they are followers only of Christ. So there's these four divisions in and amongst the church. But one of the things that I want us to see, and I want us to go back there and read verse 10, is this. That in the church, we can have no divisions. Paul says in verse 10, he says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you. You know, we talk about a term, we say a term like a divided church. I've used the phrase before. You've heard me talk about the Kentucky State motto, a house divided cannot stand. And I believe that. I'm a believer that a house divided really can't stand. If you have a husband and wife who fight and argue and fuss all of the time, it's hard for them to have a good home. It's hard for them to have a good marriage. So there's good wisdom in that phrase and in that statement. And I believe when we talk about the church, it's not so different. I believe that in the church, you cannot have divisions amongst believers and divisions in the body and then expect the church to grow and to multiply and to do what God really expects them to do. So to have that phrase, a divided church, is really an oxymoron. Everybody know what that is? An oxymoron, you know, phrases that don't go together. Some common ones might be sweet and sour. Anybody's heard of that before, right? Somebody, you know, you talk about your favorite dipping sauce, might be sweet and sour. Doesn't make a lot of sense. What about this one? Boneless ribs. Anybody ever think about that one before? Boneless ribs. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Or like a smart criminal. You've ever heard that phrase used? A smart criminal? That's oxymoronical. That's two words that don't belong together. This is probably my favorite. Happily married. Whatever. But anyways, we talk about oxymoronical phrases, things that just do not belong together. Well, in the church, we cannot say that we serve a church that is divided. Paul's desire for the church is that we do not be divided. He says, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. That we be one with another. And a lot of times the problems within the church begin with sometimes the very smallest of divisions, do they not? Amen. Yeah, they begin with some of the smallest, the most piddly, the most ignorant things that you can possibly think of. And I can tell you that in 15 years of pastoral ministry, more of my time spent pastoring has been in churches that are divided amongst stupid issues. And I'm sorry that I use that word. I know that's offensive to some people. But issues that really don't amount to anything. Color of the carpet. The drapes. What color will the newly reupholstered pews be? I shared with you some of the stories and the experiences that I've had over the years about how that small divisions led to great divisions. And how that we've divided ourselves sometimes among the most ridiculous of things. Paul tells us that we are to have no divisions, and in particular, he implores us to be united in our purpose. What is our purpose? You know, over the last several weeks, we've talked about who's your one. You know, our purpose as a church is to share the gospel message of Christ Jesus. To seek and to save the lost was the mission of Christ. Our purpose as the church is to fulfill His purpose. And how is it possible that we as a church can fulfill God's purpose if we have division among us and we cannot stand united as brothers and sisters in Christ? Church, we need to understand what our purpose really is about. Our purpose as a church is not a social club. Our purpose as a church is not to have a place to come to make ourselves feel better. The purpose of the church is not a place where we can have membership just so that we can say we are members. It's not about being having a status or being a member of something that we can put a feather in our hat, so to speak of. You know, one of the things that over the years has bothered me the most when you talk maybe with somebody about attending church, they say, well, I attend such and such church. You know, it belongs to this pastor or this person. You ever hear somebody say that? I go to such and such church. Boy, that really bothers me. Why? Because it's God's church. That in and of itself is a small division all on its own. I think about Psalms 133 verse 1. Psalms 133 verse 1, this psalmist had such a great understanding of church unity as he says, behold, how good and pleasant is it when brothers dwell in unity. How great is it in the life of the church when brothers and sisters in Christ get along together? Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus in verses 11, 12, and 13 says it this way, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, until we attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. You see, part of our purpose as believers, part of our purpose as the church is to attain that unity as brothers and sisters in Christ. To attain that unity, to have that same faith, that belief in Christ Jesus, in who that He is and what He can do. That is our main purpose, to dwell in unity and to do what the Lord tells us to do. Paul, as he writes to the church of Corinth, he says, I want you to have no divisions in verse 10. But he furthermore says that in the church there is no room for dividers. He says this in verses 11 and 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, for it has been reported to me by Cleo's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul or Apollos or Cephas to be Peter, or I follow Christ. There were factions and members in the church who specifically went about the business of being a divider. Being a divider. Does anybody know somebody in a church that you've attended or do attend that is a divider? It's the reality of the Christian church. I don't care what denomination, I don't care the name of the church. As I told you earlier, at some point in time in my ministry, it's over 15 years, it seems like I spent more times in division than in any other point and stage of my life. And you know what? Thinking back over it through the years, I can almost see every divider's face. Almost every one of them, I can think back to the exact moment when they brought about strife and division that caused a bunch of foolishness to happen in the church and cause church splits and cause heartaches and hard feelings and cause people to leave or cause me as a pastor to not want to be there anymore. I can think about those people in my mind, and it's not that I harbor anything against them. I'm just telling you that I can remember the exact moments oftentimes. Paul says that there is no room in the church for dividers. Why? Because we're all called to be unifiers. Amen? We are all called to be unifiers for the same purpose, the same goal, with the same mind and the exact same heart. So I tell you this, there is no room in the church for dividers. What does that mean? That means we pray for those that cause division. We uplift them to the Lord and we pray for them and we ask the Lord that the division would cease. But I'm telling you, if you have nothing in your heart but the purpose of dividing, if you have nothing in your heart but the purpose of doing ill will, if you have nothing in your heart but the purpose of creating strife and envy, then you can go find somewhere else to be. I didn't get very many amens on that one. I'll just take that one for what it's worth. But you know what? I'm telling you as a pastor, I'm tired of seeing people stand up and be dividers rather than unifiers. My goal is to pray for you and to uplift you if you want to be a divider. But I tell you this, if your goal is to bring strife and envy and harm, then my prayer is that the Lord will deal with you in His very own will and in His very own way. Paul tells us in the Scripture that we read that there's no room for division, that there's no room for dividers, but he also warns us that there's no room for distraction. He says in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, is Christ divided? He says, was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? He addresses this issue, makes it crystal clear that in the church there should be no distractions from Christ and fulfilling His purpose. What is a distraction from Christ? A distraction from Christ is anything that points away from Him and His purpose and His mission. That is a distraction. And I can tell you there are a lot of things in the church today that are becoming distractions. I don't get a lot of amens on that one, but that's okay. I'm just telling you the truth this morning. There are a lot of things in life that have become distractions that keep us from looking at and serving Christ. And that's something that you have to answer for yourself. I love you and I pray for you and I uplift you, but I'm telling you, there are so many of us that are turning our lives over to distractions and silly things, and we are wasting a good life that we could give serving the Lord. I think about Paul and his writings in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. Paul, as he continued on preaching to these people, telling them about their divisions, telling them about their distractions as they looked away from Christ and they wanted to turn to Paul and Apollos and Peter, as they turned to all of these other men rather than Christ, he continued on and he said this to them. He says, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." There is a world full of knowledge out there. And people go to school to obtain great degrees and gain great knowledge. But I tell you this, I believe that the greatest knowledge that any one of us could have and choose to know in our life is nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I think about Peter when he went forth in his ministry, and one example of the Scripture, when he began to preach to the Ethiopian eunuch. I believe Peter wondered in his mind what he would say, and it says in the Scripture that I preached to him Christ and Him crucified. Why? Because Christ and Him crucified is really all that matters. That's it. Christ and Him crucified is all that matters. In the end, that is all that matters. Christ and Him crucified. And your relationship with Him and your decision of how you will choose to deal with Christ in your life, in the end, that is truly all that matters. But some of us are satisfied with the distractions that we put forth in our lives that point us in every direction except the direction of Christ. Paul says there's no divisions, there's no dividers, there's no distractions. But Paul also tells us that there is but one directive. Verses 14 through 17, there in 1 Corinthians 1, Paul said this. He says, "I thank God that I baptized none of you except Cyprus and Gaius." He says, "so that no one of you may say that you were baptized in my name." He says, "I did baptize also the house of Stephanas, and beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else." But Paul says this in verse 17. He says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but He sent me to preach the gospel." Paul remembers what his purpose is in Christ. Not to be a great speaker, not to be a great orator, but he says, "The Lord sent me but to preach the gospel, not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." You see, in serving Christ, it really is about the simplest of things, serving Him and Him alone, and allowing Him to be the eloquent focus. When we try to make eloquence of the things of Christ, Paul says that we empty its power. And I believe that. Paul says we have but one directive. Paul's directive was to be a preacher and a sharer of the gospel of Christ. What about you? What's your directive? What is your choice? What do you choose to do? Do you choose to surrender and follow Him and make that the directive of your life? Or do you choose to serve self? Or do you choose to serve man? Do you choose to serve physical possessions? Do you choose to serve distractions? What do you choose for the directive of your life? I'll finish with these verses in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, as our praise and our worship team comes and they prepare. Paul said this. He says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice." Paul says here that your directive should be to give yourself over as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And he says, "This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think of himself, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of the faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Paul says, be unified. Paul says, see your directive to give your life over to Him. Present your body a living sacrifice, as King James says, for it is of your reasonable service. He says, we're many, but together we are one. I tell you this, that the church can survive no other way but to be united together as one. There's no way that we can move forward with Hoosier One. There's no way that we can move forward trying to reach lost people for Christ if we yet ourselves as brothers and sisters in Christ cannot get along, cannot put aside division or strife, put aside petty things to labor together one with another for a greater cause. Don't turn to the distractions. Don't be a divider. Don't fall into the division. Follow that one directive. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we close out this time of preaching, Lord, as we come now to a time of response, Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here, Lord, who's never known You in the free pardon of sin, Lord, I pray that today, before it's everlasting too late, that they might come, that they might give their heart and their life over to You, that they'd be saved. Lord, I pray that if there's a church member here, Lord, that's maybe struggling in their relationship with You, Lord, Father, I pray and I uplift them. Lord, I pray, Father, that they would seek Your face and Your face alone. Lord, I pray that they wouldn't turn to man. Lord, I pray that they wouldn't turn to me. Lord, I pray that they would turn to You. Lord, Father, I pray that maybe if there's somebody here who struggles with division in their home or within their life, Lord, I pray that they too will come to this altar and seek a healing. That, Lord, that their life might be restored, that their relationships might be restored. Whatever it might be, Father, Lord, however their heart's burdened, Lord, I pray they come. Lord, maybe there's others here who just want to come and uplift and pray for our church. Lord, Father, maybe there are others here who have seen themselves at times being a divider rather than a unifier. Lord, I pray that You will work upon their hearts as well. Lord, it would be my greatest heart's desire as a pastor that nobody here would intentionally seek to divide, that nobody here would intentionally seek to do harm, Lord, that nobody here would intentionally seek to cause strife or envy. Lord, Father, I pray that if that is the hearts of somebody here, then Lord, I pray that You and You alone touch them in a way like only You know how, Lord. Because I know that's a situation that's in Your hands and Your hands alone. So Lord, Father, we give it all to You. We ask it in Your holy and precious name. Amen.
Let's all stand together.
Sorrows, it's great if it's yours. From the end. ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's altar open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Sing Alleluia! Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing Alleluia. Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Sing Alleluia, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing Alleluia. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
This is the air I breathe. do. Praise God. Amen. Oh, Casey. Brother Casey, I don't want to take any more time. I know we've gone over a little bit, but I just want to praise God today.